This is James Corbett of The Corbett Report. It's the 7th of April, 2009, and today I'm talking to Miriam Mayette, the director of the African Center for Biosafety. The African Center for Biosafety is a nonprofit organization based in Johannesburg. It has a long track record of working in the area of biosafety in the context of opposing genetic engineering in food and agriculture, and provides research and policy analysis on issues pertaining to genetic engineering, biosafety, and biopiracy in Africa. Miriam Mayette, thank you very much for joining me today on The Corbett Report.
Thank you for inviting me.
No problem. Let's start by hearing more about the African Center for Biosafety, the information it provides, and your own background in the area of biosafety.
I started my work on biosafety 10 years ago when I joined the South African government representing NGOs to negotiate the final round of international negotiations pertaining to the biosafety protocol. And I've specialized in biosafety law pertaining to GMOs and have campaigned extensively against GMOs, the uptake of GMOs in Africa. And I have established the African Center for Biosafety 5 years ago. And we do a case-by-case independent review of applications made to the South African government for GMO imports and releases as one small part of our work. We also conduct research on the state of the uptake of GMOs in Africa. We look at what the corporations are doing. We look at the market share, the market shares on the part of corporations in Africa. We just, and particularly in South Africa in regards to seeds, we just look at the GMO question as comprehensively as we can as it pertains to South Africa. We also look at theft of indigenous knowledge and that's in the realm of biopiracy. And then more recently, we began to look very closely at large investments made by the Gates Foundation and the Rockefeller Foundation. The what we call strategic philanthropy, the money coming into Africa to spearhead the industrialization of African agriculture under the banner of the Green Revolution push in Africa and its linkages with the GM push.
Well, that's an extremely interesting area of research, and that's something that we've talked about in the Corbett Report before, so I'd love to talk with you in more detail about that. But today on the Corbett Report, I'd like to concentrate on recent reports of crop failures in South African farms that were planting specific Monsanto GM corn hybrids. So what can you tell us about this situation and its background?
Well, what we understand is that from our own inquiries, is that around 200,000 hectares of GM maize planted by commercial farmers involving three varieties of Monsanto's GM maize, and these varieties are its mainstay varieties. It's MON810, which is the BT variety. It's commercialized between 12 and 15 years ago, and it's been growing in South Africa for around 10 years. The other variety is the Roundup Ready variety called NK603, and the third variety is a hybrid of the two. It's a stack variety, the BT gene and the Roundup Ready gene, and that's the NK603 and MON810. And we understand that farmers planting all three varieties for the 2008-2009 growing season, they began to grow and our planting season is in September when the rains come. These maize varieties failed to pollinate, so they didn't have any cobs on them. And Monsanto, we have not seen any release issued on its part. We understand it has done its own little very quick review of what has happened, and that review is with our government, but has very speedily entered into contractual arrangements with farmers who were involved in the crop failure and has compensated each of these farmers for the crop failure. The line given by Monsanto to the grain industry body called Grain South Africa and to our government is that there was some error in the breeding program in regard to the parent lines used. But our question to Monsanto and our government is how could you, they were saying it's not the technology that failed, it's human error. And our question to them is how could there have been human error in regard to all three GM varieties? So, you know, we are very much in the dark on this issue because we have asked our government for access to information in terms of legislation to the Monsanto report to them. But we've been told that it's confidential. We also cannot speak publicly to any of the farmers because they've signed an agreement with Monsanto not to speak about what has happened. So it will be really very difficult for us to get hold of any information from Monsanto or the government on this issue. We would have to independently conduct a study if we had the money in order to bring the true information into the public discourse and arena. But what we plan to do is we plan to write directly to the new minister that will come in into the position of the Minister of Environmental Affairs and Tourism because we have elections in a couple of days' time. And we intend to ask for an inquiry into this fiasco because this is not the first time that we see indications of problems with maize. Last year, the Farmers Weekly also reported that GM maize, Monsanto's GM maize, was showing signs of resistance to the stem borer. There's also problems around food safety risks regarding MON810. So we're saying that there's too many problems. And our government can't now ignore such a spectacular failure on commercial farms.
Well, you made a number of important points there, and one that I'd like to pick up on is your assertion that Monsanto's explanation that the problem is due to under-fertilization during seed production doesn't hold water because it applies to all three of the BT corn hybrids that were being planted. To your knowledge, is there any precedent for that happening before with non-GM varieties of corn?
Look, we have asked if at least during this growing season, if the non-GM counterparts also showed signs of sterility. And the answer we have been given by commercial farmers is no. We are not saying that conventional varieties don't have some problems in the breeding program, but we are just asking the question why all three varieties of Monsanto's GM have been implicated in this crop failure.
Monsanto is claiming that the problem is only affecting 25% of the farms that planted their hybrids, but I understand your information would put that figure at closer to 80%.
Well, you see, what we did is we called a number of farmers up ourselves, and they told us that they would not be able to come forward publicly because they have signed contracts with Monsanto, but they saying to us that on each individual farm, Monsanto's figure is that the crop failure is between 5% and 10%. They were saying that it's as high as 70%, and that we're looking at not 40,000 hectares, but around 200,000 hectares between the three provinces. So it's quite extensive, involving several farmers and 200,000 hectares. So, we were also given this information by other industry players who've been speaking to farmers. But this is a very close-knit community who have stuck together with Monsanto, backing GM technology for many, many years. They are now coming to us saying, well, you know, we thought that you were just scaremongering, but now we see the problems. And they're also raising other concerns around contamination. Commercial farmers are concerned about contamination of their crops by GM farmers. There are also concerns about the dependence on Monsanto. They're beginning to feel a little bit hemmed in by the by their own hand, you know, but because they adopted the technology, thinking in their own mind that they were adopting a more enhanced, improved variety that will give them more production. But I think that there's been a number of problems, and I think that this may be the beginning of the opening of the Pandora's box in South Africa.
Well, let's open that box a little further. If this problem, this recent crop failure, does represent a problem with the GM technology itself, what does that tell us about the feasibility of the so-called gene revolution being touted by the biotech firms that are literally selling the third world a dream that genetic engineering is going to increase crop production and eradicate hunger?
You know, I think it's a tragedy because they're just looking for markets. And Africa is potentially a big market, particularly if they begin to industrialize, if they begin to use the green revolution as laying the foundation, because the green revolution intends to establish a whole value chain at the grassroots level to get the seeds to the farmers, the pesticides and fertilizer, and to get the harvest to the market without a huge investment of infrastructure. So I think that they're selling Africa a pipe dream. They're selling Africa a technology that will give a few people very short-term benefits, because we know it's not sustainable. We know that there will be pest resistance, that biosafety concerns around, as we see now, the crop failure, unintended effects, and I'm amazed that our governments in Africa, who have been very resistant to GM technology thus far, are beginning to buy into the pipe dream. And I think it's because of the money being put on the table. For example, Gates Foundation has given $47 million for GM drought-tolerant maize research. And some of that money will also be used for marker-assisted selection. But I think that because our continent is really cash-strapped and very little public money is going into public agricultural research, I think that they will sell out the peasant farmers and food security in favor of this pipe dream.
So from your own analysis, why do you think the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and the Rockefeller Foundation have been so heavily invested in this dream? And what do they seek to gain from this green revolution?
You see, I think it's a clash of two paradigms at play here. Because the Rockefeller Foundation, you must remember, was the father of the Green Revolution in Asia. And the way we're looking at it is that they very heavily lobbied the Gates Foundation. And they have successfully convinced the Gates Foundation that the Green Revolution was, in fact, a huge success in Asia. And that but for the Green Revolution in Asia, more people would have died or been, you know, relegated to starvation status, and that it was a huge success. So I think that they buy into the paradigm that rural poverty alleviation is the way to address that is to get farmers to produce more food production, more production. They're not looking at equity issues or looking at agroecological alternatives. They have bought into the paradigm that you address rural poverty by enabling farmers to produce more food, because in that way they can then export food to the global markets. And we know that with the global financial crisis, global trade has been very hard hit. And now is the time to look inward and look at food security measures and enable Africa to be much more food secure and self-reliant, and not rely on exports and imports of food and the price fluctuations of the global market?
Well, I think self-sufficiency and self-reliance is the key, and the Green Revolution is really hindering African farmers from being able to build up that self-reliance and is really funneling money to the basically American-based biotech firms. So what then moving forward is the next step in South Africa and in Africa generally? And what would you like to see happen in this particular case with the Monsanto corn?
Well, I think that we would like to see our government put brakes on any further approvals of GM applications. We would like to see a commission of inquiry by just maybe two or three biosafety experts to look into the problems not only of this crop failure but of GM agriculture in South Africa. We would like to see that study being extended to the small-scale farmers that Monsanto has been targeting in the Eastern Cape. And then we would like to see a lot of support for agroecological alternatives, and we would like to see a shift in agriculture policies towards food sovereignty principles and imperatives, and a commitment to that effect by our governments. And I think that that's what we would put a lot of our energy in. And I think that more pesticides, inorganic fertilizers, and GMs is definitely not the answer for Africa.
Well, I agree with your assessment, and I would suggest that my listeners find out more information about the African Center for Biosafety and your efforts. So if my listeners are interested in finding out more information about the African Center for Biosafety, where can they go for that more information?
Yes, they can go to our website, and that is www.biosafetyafrica.org.za.
All right, excellent. Well, Miriam Mayet, it's been a pleasure talking to you today, and there's much more to be said on this issue, so I certainly hope you can join us again someday on the Corbett Report. And thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much for inviting me, and I look forward to discussing more issues in the future.